We have player, radio guy, analyst. He just kind of covers it all. The Beamer, Rich Beam, what's going on, man?
Covers it all. That's a new terminology for me. I'm not too sure I cover anything.
It's kind of like
glance over it all and wax poetically or make stuff up. I'm not too sure which one it is.
It's kind of like the Waffle House, scattered, covered, smothered, and chunked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Waffle House. Oh, how do I love the Waffle House?
I was actually covering the Big Break Invitational last year down in Reynolds Plantation, and every morning I'd stop off at the Waffle House, and I'd take a picture of my breakfast and tweet it out. I'm going, oh, I love the Waffle House.
You didn't have to walk 18 that day. That was the nice thing, right?
I still had to walk about 9 holes. Okay. 9, 10, 11 holes. Yeah, no, trust me, I knew going into it that I'd have to work it off somehow.
Yeah, but Waffle House and long distance walking don't tend to go well together.
Yeah, no, thankfully I ate early enough and then had enough time for it to kind of sink in and, you know, kind of do its thing. But yeah, it was, I just get them covered. I don't get them smothered or anything like that, but the ham and cheese omelets to die for there.
All right, so
this is top-notch golf radio right here.
We went to Waffle House Radio there for a second.
Hey, that's the great thing about me. Why talk about the obvious? I mean, everybody's listening, thinking that we're going to talk about golf, dude. Let's talk about the Waffle House.
Well, somebody,
the pancake gets a freaking deal at the Waffle House. The team doesn't, but what can't pancake does?
All right, so you're a PGA champion. How come you weren't on the Ryder Cup Task Force?
Well, but I think because my reputation precedes me just a wee bit out here on tour amongst the boys. But yeah, no, thank you. I'll leave that to all the smart guys in the room. I'll stay out of that one. But yeah, who knows? I mean, the funny thing is that we could sit there and I've been asked about it and talked about it on radio and things like that. But we really don't know what's going to happen come time to tee it up at Hazeltine. And the funny thing is that, everybody looks at the coach or the captain as kind of the go-to guy. He's kind of the goat sometimes and this and that, but it's just like, wait a second. Last time I saw, that captain wasn't pulling a club out of his bag and hitting it anywhere. So, I mean, I think a lot more responsibility has got to fall on the players and things like that. And you've got to accept whatever the captain chooses to do. Now, do you agree with it always? Heck no, you don't. But, that's just the way it is. So it'll be interesting to see what Davis Love comes up with and how his format is as far as vice captains and so on and so forth. And so it'll be fun to watch. I'm going to have a front row seat, that's for sure. And I'll be there all week long having some major league fun.
Well, I mean, but Rich, did you think the selection was controversial? Were you in the Fred Couples camp? I mean, this is,
I would have liked to have seen Freddie at some point, but I'd be shocked to see him not be some sort of vice captain because of his relationship with Davis Love III. But, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, the PGA of America historically has stayed with, obviously, major champions, and only recently did they go away from this, but you had to be a PGA champion as well to be a Ryder Cup captain. So I'm not too surprised they went with Davis Love. I mean, I think I read that Paul Azinger kind of withdrew his name. He didn't want to do it again. But I think Davis was a fine coach up at Medina. We just got outplayed in the Sunday singles, and that's why we didn't win the Ryder Cup. And so, I think it kind of falls on the player sometimes. And if you get beat, you get beat. And there's, what can you do? I mean, I don't think we played bad when Davis Love was the captain last. I just think that we got outplayed on one day, and it really, they had enough momentum to carry them over the top. So it's, I don't know. I think everybody kind of gets a little too worked up about it, but I also believe that we're going to have a younger team in 2016. And I'm fairly confident if I could go find a place to lay a bet right now, which I'm pretty sure I could.
I think it's out there.
I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, you'd put your money down in the U.S. squad?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, without even thinking twice about it. Heck yeah.
Well, they...
No, just have it in us. I think it's our time. I think it's our time, and I think that we're tired of getting beaten. I think the young guys, I think we saw some pretty fiery play from Patrick Reed, Jordan Spieth, and I think we're going to have maybe a couple more younger guys on the team next time around. And so we're going to kind of get an adrenaline shot, so to speak, I think, from some of these younger players. And I'm pretty fired up about it. I think that the Ryder Cup over the next few years is going to be awfully healthy. And we've got some young studs out on our tour, I mean, that are still kind of lost. And Justin Thomas comes to mind. Tony Finau's playing well. And there's a momentum shift every now and again, and I think it's about to swing back towards the U.S. side.
All right, so we just announced this week here in Charlotte that we're getting the President's Cup at Quail Hollow for 2021. I know you've played the Wells Fargo Championship here. How does Quail set up for a match play scenario that we're going to get at the President's Cup?
I think it sets up pretty well. I mean, you've got some really long, tough holes, and then you've got some shorter, birdieable holes. The par fives are for the most part very gettable. The only one that may not always be gettable is 10, but for the most part, it's a solid test of golf. I mean, you've got, like I said, you've got some shorter holes. Number 8 comes to mind. They can move the tee box up on 11 and kind of sneak the boys up there, but then you follow it up with a hard par 4, number 12, and then you can move the tees up on 14. So I think that it's going to be a wonderful match play golf course, and I'm sure that Mr. Harris is going to have that thing in absolutely immaculate shape, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a heck of a venue, and it certainly is very worthy of having both the PGA Championship and a Ryder Cup coming up in the foreseeable future.
So how's the radio show going these days?
You know, it's coming along nicely. We switched formats. We're not with SiriusXM anymore. It's still Beamer and the Ball Guy. We do it on Sundays now, though, and it's broadcast throughout the U.S. on Yahoo Sports Radio. If you don't have it on your stereo in your car, then you can do it. I think you download the app and get it and listen to it that way. There's also a podcast, but it's good. I mean, we just have a lot of fun with it. Sandy and I, he's the bald guy, and it's just the same two knuckleheads talking about, you know, Waffle Houses and you know, whatever else that really kind of pops into our minds. But it's fun. I enjoy it. It's really kind of a nice break from just kind of doing what I do on the TV side of it, where I can kind of let it fly just a little bit more. And I enjoy it. It's a fun deal, and hopefully we're gaining some traction and more people are listening, and that'd be a good thing for us.
Now, have you discovered, as we have, how sexy the radio makes you?
Oh, my gosh. I am just tall, dark, and handsome. I mean, I'm telling you what.
I am thin on radio. I am Duffner thin on radio.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I am like Daniel Craig-ish looking on radio, but up close and personal, not even sniffing it. So, but yeah, it's always funny when you listen to guys on the radio and then you finally get a chance to meet him. You're like, dude, you look nothing like I expected you to.
So I got to ask you this. You know, everybody talks about Tiger Woods, and we were talking earlier that, you know, it's there's only a few people in this world that should really be commenting on Tiger Woods, like the Jack Nicklauses, the Arnold Palmers, because they've been there. They've been at the top of the game. They know what's going on. They understand the nuances of things. But even from your perspective, a major champion, and the things that you go through and the things that you have to do and the time that you have to put in to win major championships, Tiger just hasn't had the opportunity yet, between injuries and coming back and going to see Lindsey Vonn and her comeback, and he just doesn't practice like he used to.
No, and I think that's just a natural progression as every player goes through. You get older, you don't want to spend as much time in the driving range. I think his priorities probably have shifted in his life, probably trying to spend some more time with his kids, obviously with Lindsey Vonn, things like that. So you kind of spread yourself a little thin sometimes, and maybe you don't put the time and effort in that's required. But, you know, it's one of those things where people are so quick to jump on and think, oh, he's finished, he can't do this anymore, his chipping's terrible. It's like, well, wait a second here. Let's take a breather and think about it. I love what I believe it was Martin Keimer said. He says, he's human. He's human just like the rest of us. And things like this can happen. And I think, personally, I think that having some time away from the game, the spotlight of the game, I guess I should say, and kind of going and reassessing your priorities and maybe just taking some time to yourself to decompress, breathe, work on your swing a little bit instead of feeling like you got to rush back to prove yourself. Tiger doesn't need to prove anything to anybody. He's already done that. He has already shown the world how great he truly is. And he can take as much time off as he needs to, wants to, in my mind's eye. I don't think he owes us anything anymore. He is absolutely, he's spoiled as rotten is what he did. But in saying that, he has earned some time away from the game and to go get some peace and quiet for a few minutes and really kind of get his body and mind healthy again. And when he comes back, it wouldn't be surprising to see him be on top of the leaderboard in short order.
Well, we are talking to legendary Waffle House eating Rich Beem. We're talking about Tiger, and I thought it was interesting this week that you know, Kid Rock, people were like, why is Kid Rock commenting on Tiger Woods? You know, Kid Rock is pretty well equipped to talk about fame and everything else, and I think his advice made more sense than anything I heard on Golf Channel, read on golf.com, certainly made more sense than anything we've said on the radio. Relax, dude. Relax. That Tiger needs to loosen up a little bit.
I would agree with that a bit, too. But, you know, I mean, I think it's the nature of the game, too. I mean, the game is supposed to be fun. You're supposed to enjoy it. It's not supposed to be work and things like that. And at some point in every professional's career, it becomes work. And it's how you handle that scenario. I know for me, after my injury in 2010, coming back, it felt like work. And I didn't mind it. But it didn't have the same sensations I had when I was a younger man and I was out there having fun and wanted to be out at the golf course, wanted to be doing this, wanted to be doing that, wanted to be a part of everything. But the older I got, it's just like, it really doesn't appeal to me as much anymore. And you just kind of, your priorities change, like I said. But, you know, Kid Rock giving advice to Tiger, that's pretty darn funny, I think.
And you're right, it should be fun. I mean, we're not shipping arms to the Contras here. We're playing golf. So thinking of that, looking back at your career, who was the most fun to play with in a tournament round? Like, you think back on all the pairings you've had throughout your career. Who was the most fun to play with?
Oh, gosh. I'd have to say one of the guys, Steve Pate. Steve Pate was just, I mean.
The volcano?
He wakes up with a burn in his ass. I mean, it's just like, holy cannoli, man. How can you be this angry all the time? And he's got a wicked sense of humor, too. He's funny, but I love to watch him just explode every now and again. You know, I always got a big kick out of it, but he was always a blast to play. Robert Gomez and I always had a good time on the golf course together because he and I both played fast. And it sometimes didn't work out so well for us if we got stuck behind a grouping that we were sitting there waiting on all day, but Robert was always fun to play with. And, you know, I got along with most of the guys out there. And some the guys who didn't talk, who didn't want to be social on the golf course, that's the guys I didn't really enjoy so much. But I'm kind of like Switzerland, man. I got along with pretty much everybody on tour.
Well, how would you have handled Kevin Na? You play fast. He plays. What's the opposite of that?
Oh, I've played with Kevin. I've played with Ben Crane.
Stutter?
I've played with slow ones. And you just, you know, you literally, the thing you got to do is just not watch them. Don't look at them. Don't pay attention to what they're doing because it'll just drive you freaking crazy. So I think just kind of staying out of it and just having a conversation with the caddy or the other player in your group, I think that was the best way to do it. I literally never pay attention. At times, especially on the greens, like say you got a fairly short putt for par or something like that, and the player's taking a considerable amount of time over their putt and really kind of slowing things up. That was when it would kind of irk me a little bit. But tee to green, it didn't bother me. It didn't really bother me. Just not, maybe on the greens would just be like, come on, man. The ball is just sitting there. You're only 4 feet away. Hit the dang thing.
All right, Beamer, before we let you go, man, I need to find out from you, who do you think could be the next first-time major winner? And is it going to happen this year?
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen this year, and Patrick Reed's going to be their guy.
Nice.
Patrick Reed is no doubt he's going to win a major, and I think it's going to be his year. I think Jordan Spieth's probably not too far behind, but I'd have to say between the two of them, I think Patrick Reed is my pick of the day.
Can he challenge Rory for number one in the world this year?
Well, it kind of depends on Rory more than anything else. I think that if Rory continues to do what he does with the driver, you know, obviously didn't do it so well around PGA National this week, but he got some pretty difficult conditions, as everybody did on Thursday. But you know, it wasn't the easiest out there, and you know, he didn't handle it very well, and that's fine. I mean, he certainly is not going to get worked up about. He's probably going to go back and take a couple of days off and come down to Miami and you know, have a great week. So, it really depends on what Rory does this year, whether or not Patrick Reed can catch him. I mean, I think Bubba Watson, certainly he's in really good form right now. So if he were to go out and win the Masters, and that wouldn't surprise me either. And he might become world number one if we're, before Patrick Reed would.
Oh, man. Well, Beamer, we appreciate you coming on with us, and we'll look for you at the Waffle House sometime soon.
Absolutely. Hey, and I'm going to be wearing my new LeBron Palmer Nike shoes, too. So if you don't know what those are, look them up. I'm going to be sporting a pair of those.
All right. Well, we'll catch you when you get here to Charlotte. Are you coming to Charlotte this year?
I will be in Charlotte. We'll see you there.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.